Rockstar Podcast, episode 151. We're missing Mariano. Lorenzo and Aggie talk about Cablevision, Optimum, movies, Netflix, sitcoms, reality TV. We also talk about jury duty. We also talk about every letter in the alphabet having a curse and a whole hodgepodge. Yeah, I use hodgepodge of stuff. Hope you enjoy. Bye. Hello and welcome to Rockstar Podcast, episode 151. 151. Mariano's not here. Agatha's here. So she's going to be times two.
I know.
Aggie? Agatha. I don't know. I go both. I don't even think about it.
I mean,
it.
I go both ways too, so it's totally fine.
Okay.
Aggie is what my friends usually call me and what is easier to remember, but Agatha is my full name.
Okay.
So just call me Aggie.
Okay.
Or if you're at Starbucks, you can call me Maggie.
Oh, really? They? I know that they do it on purpose, but...
I sometimes just do it.
Because
it's easier.
Just do it.
Yeah. I mean, when you have a name that maybe isn't as common wherever you are, it's sometimes just easier to choose the common name. So I'm Maggie on most of my takeout orders and coffee orders.
Interesting. It's not a personality disorder or anything like that, right?
I don't think so. Okay. I don't know.
Okay. Fair enough. Last night when I was laying in bed with my daughter we were listening to music as she fell asleep, she asked me if every letter in the alphabet has a curse word.
I love your daughter more and more.
And then she proceeded to tell me certain words. So I'll give you a quick roundup. A, and I'm like, oh, no. And she goes, it's S. And I, yes. That's good. Then she goes, B, and I'm like.
Oh, no.
And she says, bitch.
Oh, my goodness.
She knows. Look, I don't know. I'm European. I'm not uptight about this kind of stuff at all. Karen just rages with anger sometimes. So she just says stuff like that, and we just combine it, and it's a great, crazy household. So I'm like, and then I'm like, oh, no, she's going to C. No, and she goes right to, she skips C, thankfully.
Okay, that's good.
Yes. And then she's like, what about Z? And I'm like, Z, there's no curse word that I could think of for Z. And then I forgot what the other one was. Oh, she says J, and she goes, jerk? And I said, yeah. Mm-hmm. She said I, and I said, idiot? And she's like, yeah. And she goes to P, and I'm like, oh, no.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, I can't think of anything.
Smart answer.
Yeah, no, I think anybody would have come up with that one real quick with C and P. But A, I was worried about. B, she just rolled out. F, she knows, but she didn't say it, but she knows. She whispers it every once in a while because we watch Impractical Jokers every night, and they bleep out, but you know it. And she goes, Joe said, fuck.
Oh, my god.
Just like that. Like, she laughs. The child's an angel, to be honest with you. So I don't care. And so that was that. So we went kind of through the alphabet, but she skipped.
So
like
it
I
was
said,
educational.
For who? Yes, I guess you could say it was educational. I have jury duty in September.
Oh.
Yeah.
I mean, yay.
Yeah.
What do you say to that? Is the correct thing congratulations?
Well, I can tell you what not to say, and I can tell you what to say. The thing not to say is what I said the time that I got pulled to jury duty and I was on a 3-month case for pedophilia.
Oh, man.
Yeah, for a local baseball coach.
Oh, man.
Yes. So that was 3 months of news and luckily they did not sequester us, or what's the word, when they put you in the hotel for like 3 months. But
right.
It was 9 to 5 every day.
Wow.
Yeah.
So I'm always curious about this because I have to be totally honest. Every time I've been called for jury duty, I've been usually on maternity leave breastfeeding a baby. So I have the ability to say, well, unless I can bring my baby.
Ironically, that's what I said the second time, which got me out of it. So that was great.
So maybe that's a reason. So I've gotten out of that because of that,
okay.
Which is a whole conversation in and of itself.
Okay.
However, what do you do with work? How do you manage everything? Because you run your own business.
Yeah, I mean, I do say that, and that's what I said the second time around.
Right.
And I got out of it. I think anything makes sense, right? Because everybody says the same thing, work, 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 right?
Right.
There are some people that want to be on jury duty because they do think it's cool or get a cool case, or also they want to get out of work.
Mm-hmm.
I think the judges probably try to stay away from that as much as possible because they're too eager. Like, you shouldn't want to do it. You should do it to do it.
Well, my question is more, as someone who runs their own business, how do you manage your business while being on jury duty? Because I think that...
That 3 months was rough.
Yeah.
I basically ran my business from 5 o'clock till 2 a.m. in the morning.
Oh, but you were doing your civic duty.
I did more than my civic duty.
Yeah.
But I think most cases, they're not that level.
Intense.
Yeah. And it actually just got mundane and just immune to the whole topic after a while. It was a learning experience because I did take criminal law in William Patterson the first time we kicked out.
How is this just coming out now? You took criminal law. Tell me more.
I went to William Patterson.
Well, I know that part. Oh, but
I wanted to be a criminal law teacher.
Interesting.
So I took sociology and criminal cases and courses, the basic communications courses, stuff like that. And then after I got kicked out of there, I went to Bergen Community and tried to get an associate's in criminality, and I didn't finish that. And then I went to paralegal school for 8 months, which was Monday to Friday every day. I had to drive from North Jersey down to Edison, and it was from 8 to 5. Graduated. It was an 8 month course, but it was an intense 8 month. Got a job as an attorney. I know shorthand, and I lasted 2 weeks at the attorney, and I said, get me the F out of here.
Well, so it's interesting. I would never have necessarily thought that you would have such an interest in law and justice. However, now knowing you, it makes for longer than, I guess a week. It makes total sense, but makes sense that you wouldn't want to sit in necessarily an attorney's office.
I wouldn't, because I wanted to become a professor or a teacher.
Right,
which I didn't want to be an attorney, but I don't remember if you have to be an attorney to be a criminal law teacher. I don't remember, but A Time to Kill is a book by John Grisham, and that's what got me into it. I love the book, and it's literally the last book I've read.
I was going to say, yes, but I thought you don't read books.
I don't. It was the last book I read, and that was probably in 1980
Wow,
something.
And you see how life-changing it was
for
you.
It got me kicked out of 2 colleges. I spent a lot of money.
Okay, okay. But the upswing is that you probably learned something that really interested you, and now you have a skill set that you have and you didn't have before.
Yes, yes. But yes, I went to... So how did we get here?
Jury duty.
Jury duty, right. So yes, so... mid-September, I'm going. How I got out of it the second time, I don't know that I necessarily got out of it.
You just weren't chosen.
Well, the judge, have you ever been to jury duty?
No, anytime I've been called, I say that it's the truth. Usually on maternity leave. So it's freehold. Like, it just happened to work that way. I've only ever been called in on the West Coast because that's where I had both my kids.
So we have to go, here we go to freehold, and you're basically in a huge room. You sit there for a couple hours, then you get called into one of the jury, into the courtrooms. And we all just stand there at the entrance. There's like, it looks like we're waiting outside of a Best Buy on Black Friday, right? And the judge starts yelling out names.
Wow.
The two attorneys are there. They may ask a question or two, but basically the judge is saying, why don't you want to do jury duty, or why can't you, or do you have any problems with it? And most people say this typical stuff, work, blah, blah, blah. And it filters down and filters down. Now, the attorneys are there, so they are trying to, you know, if they're looking for white males, if they're looking for Asian women, whatever they're looking for a jury, they might automatically remove people.
Interesting.
And I think they get X amount of numbers, and then it gets filtered down. So on my court case that I got put on, that expedited quickly. And, you know, when you're one of... 800 and there's 12 of you and you get picked, and then they have the 2 or 3 backup jury duty. So this was interesting. There was 3 additional jurors. They were not permitted to be in the courtroom, but they had to wait downstairs in the lobby the entire day, every day, as backups. At some point, you know, I should remember the terminology, but I don't. One of the jurors apparently spoke to a reporter. So the judge brought us in. We had to go delay it another 2 days because the attorneys had to figure out, well, the defense attorney had to figure out if they wanted to keep this jury, and then they had to bring the other person up, and then you have to bring them up to speed, blah, blah, blah. Decision-wise, I think we took a half a day or a day.
Wow. So, okay, so silly and a dumb question.
Yeah.
When you are in jury, you just have to zone in the entire time. You can't be doing work on your laptop or anything, correct?
You have to be standing
100% involved.
It was challenging because I was working late.
Well, but let's also talk about the fact
that... I would just fall asleep. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. I feel like in this day and age, when you are having to pay attention to something, it's socially acceptable to have your phone out. No, but in that type of situation, absolutely not.
You are literally...
legalities around it.
Like, it's basically you're in a room of silence. Everybody is either staring at the witness, the judge, or you guys.
So... it sounds really interesting. So now I feel like I'm like karma's going to be like, "Hey, jury duty, Aggie." But it sounds kind of
depends on the topic, yeah, though. Because
the idea
mine
of
was...
being disconnected seems nice, but the topic could be really intense. And Lorenzo's phone is ringing.
Yes, but it is on mute. It
nice
is on
work.
Mute. Yes.
And, nice work.
Oh wait, I almost don't want to put on mute for the fun of it, and I'm actually kind of surprised.
Oh, I don't know if mine is. Oh, it is.
You
it
have
is.
It on your watch.
Yeah.
By the way, I will tell you that this is millennial versus non-millennial. Every single time you look at your watch. Which is a lot because you get your text messages. It's old school thinking of, oh, are you bored? Do you check in what time it is?
I know.
Right? So, and there's a famous scene where a presidential debate, which George H. Bush against Clinton.
Right.
Do you know this scene?
Mm-mm.
Okay. So, debate, like the town hall debate style, mm-hmm. where they're sitting in the chair. And the reason why George H. Bush lost re-election is because at one point he says, and this is when TV everybody watched, right?
Right.
So he said something to the effect of, how much longer is this debate? And he seemed so, he was already under the perception that he's not interested.
Right.
Sort of like along the Mitt Romney line.
Okay. Concept.
And he said that, and it between that and if you've ever seen the scene of Bill Clinton going on the Arsenio Hall show to play he did the trumpet, I think he played. So Clinton looked hip as cool as shit. And Bush looked old and like, I don't care. So
I know looking this is like I don't care.
That is an indicator that like you're bored and you're
checking my watch. That's interesting. Well, so I need to figure out.
I don't
how to,
think that, by the way, but
well, but it's happened
it triggered
to
it
me.
Right away.
Well, it's happened to me in a couple meetings, where business meetings, where people have said, "Are you okay? Do you have to go?" And I have to state for the record, like, "Oh no, this is just I keep my watch on because this is how my nanny communicates me with me for my kids."
Which would indicate to me that you have an issue with your nanny.
No, it's just that
she
sometimes...
No, but I'm saying to what it does to me.
Oh, interesting. No, not at all. It's just faster than having my phone because I don't always have my phone on me and whatnot.
It's a social learning curve for those who haven't mm-hmm. with those who have. Not that you have, but you got it. You do it like that because it's fine. Right?
Well, for those who are listening, he just keeps moving his wrist because
yes.
that's what I'm doing is I'm moving my wrist and looking at my watch face when there's something that buzzes me to alert me like, hey, someone's texting you.
Thank you for reminding me that we're on audio and not visual as well. By the way, thebellcast.com, I do the Bellcast podcast, and that's on YouTube, and you can subscribe because not many of you have.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
You just took over our podcast.
The Bellcast.
And just spammed us a little
bit. If you haven't had enough of me weekly, you can get me for an extra hour, and you can watch me and all my awkwardness of, like, biting my nails.
Okay. So as someone who's been on the Bellcast mm-hmm. and who listens to the Bellcast, if you are in Bellworks, New Jersey, which I'm going to guess a lot of our listeners might be, it is worth subscribing to because you find out little tips and tricks in the building like... we have someone who does a laundromat for us in a closet here. If you leave
you can't
your clothes
get over
in a
this.
Closet, a professional launderer comes and they clean them and then they put them back in the closet. This is like Googleplex stuff. I can't even believe we
but
have
are
this.
Are you
going
to use it or is it just amazing to you that it's possible?
I probably won't use it because I forget to do that. It's, and it's just like, but situationally, I mean, I am a married person who lives in the suburbs and I'm right next to our laundromat. So I'm able to just drop our stuff off in between. You know, to and from work. The idea of having it at work, I just would never think to bring my dirty clothes to work.
Do you not do laundry at home?
Yeah, of course
I
do.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah, I meant stuff that needs dry cleaning.
Oh, okay.
Do I not do laundry? Well, that's subjective. My husband would say, no, she does not, because he does more laundry. But okay. If I have to, I do.
I am not allowed to do laundry.
What'd you do, put a pink sock with a white shirt?
I did the smartest thing you could ever do. I fucked up the first time so that no one would ever... No, I'm old school Italian. I would do it. I've asked to do it.
Yeah.
My mother and my wife have both said, oh, you don't need me anymore? So, like, where do I win there?
That is an amazing reaction.
Yeah.
I think I might use that for other things.
Like, that's like of course. I'm sorry, but this is like Mars, Venus, DNA, female could totally. Guys could say that, and the wife would be like, actually, I have kids now. I don't need you for anything else. Thank you.
Wow. Okay. Well, look, sounds like I need to use that more often.
Yeah, but Pete does laundry. So,
he does.
Don't do laundry. I kind of know how, but it's unheard of in my growing up.
Hmm.
With my mother, but at home, No, she does. You know, it's but it's sort of like, I mean, that sounds caveman-esque, but like I would never like let anybody mow the lawn. Like that's my thing.
Okay.
But I enjoy it. Karen says she enjoys doing laundry. So
that's a lie. She loves you.
She no. Well, no. Yes and no. She enjoys it because she genuinely does enjoy it. But she sits downstairs and does the laundry while she's watching TV. So she it's a whole like process thing. It's not like she's just sitting there like, you know, scrubbing the thing. Like in Italy, we have the fountain in front of our house. Mm-hmm. My grandmother would be in there with the washing board and stuff like that.
Wow.
Yeah. So but that was in a day that you had like 4 shirts in your life.
Yeah, I was going to say probably a lot less clothing.
Oh, yeah. Now you have 4 shirts just for Monday.
I know. It's out of control. I need to go through all of our clothes. I feel like my kids are growing so fast, and I just keep leaving all their clothes in their dresser, and it's overflowing.
It's too bad because I have had a crap load of clothes that would fit your youngest. All bougie Carter stuff because Karen was at Babies R Us, like unused type stuff. But I've had a yearly purge. This year I purged. Like, I shouldn't say that. I always purge. I'm mm-hmm. just not usually allowed to.
Mm-hmm.
And this year, I was allowed to, and I went.
Wow.
Chaos.
You went bananas?
Oh, my God, yes.
Well, I think actually kids' clothing, even just, so I have a 7.5-year-old, and the clothing that she wants to wear is so much fancier and cooler than the clothing that I think I grew up with. Like, her shirts have sequins that flip both ways. Have you heard about this? The flippy shirts?
Oh, yeah.
So one way you flip it, it's one picture. The other way, it's a different picture.
My daughter has 4 pillows and 3 shirts of this.
Okay.
Yes.
So, so here's the thing. But how brilliant is that, number one? And number two, it's like up the ante on clothing. She's like, if it doesn't have the flippies, you know.
Well, you know they have the flippies now where you can put a picture of mom on there or yourself on there.
That's a little weird.
It's a little weird, but she won't want those flippies anymore. Well, she's still probably, maybe at 7, is she?
She might.
Is she daddy girl or mommy girl or both?
Both. Yeah. Okay. I say that to be politically correct. Okay. So I actually, you know, one thing that she does do that I was going to bring up anyway is she's really big into those giant bows. Have you heard about this bow craze, the JoJo Siwa? JoJo Siwa bows.
I just did a JoJo Siwa bow this morning for my daughter, and it's been going on for a year.
Okay.
I'm a master.
How do you feel about this?
Okay, I have 0 feelings about this, but clearly you do.
Well, I did not. So I full disclosure, I didn't know who JoJo Siwa was until probably this year. My daughter wanted these big bows. I didn't put 2 and 2 together until now.
It looks like just a big bow.
Right. Well, she's in elementary school. And so, you know, her friends were like, oh, JoJo Siwa. And you need to have the one that is the true JoJo Siwa bow. And then it's like an empire. JoJo Siwa is quite possibly the best entrepreneur I've ever seen. And she's like, what, 16?
Sophia has the Barbie doll version of JoJo.
I didn't even know she had a Barbie doll. So
she has a whole line of stuff. She has a whole line of
brilliant
stuff. So if you go to Target, you'll see a whole JoJo section.
This is crazy. I just don't understand
how.
A
couple years now.
Well, so my daughter loves to watch like videos and about her and her empire.
Yes.
And she'll say things like, did you know JoJo Siwa has no taste buds, was born with no taste buds, so she can't taste anything? And I'll be like, I did not know that, but apparently in one of the videos it says that.
Oh.
And we watched a 20-minute video about all the different JoJo Siwa bows because she wanted me to, she wanted to show me all the different hairstyles so I could do them for
her. Side one, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And but then you also have pigtails, and then there's one, which is, by the way, so smart. It's a giant bow, but then there's a billion other little bows inside the ponytail, so now we have to go shopping again.
Micro-marketing.
This business model.
Yeah.
I can't.
If you've ever watched the videos of her at home, I have passed my TV while watching it, and I've seen enough of it. They actually have it's a really nice family. That seems to be the rage at my house. My daughter watches other family shows. So
wait, shows of other families, like real people?
Families? Reality. The kids are doing it. So I am not, for even my advanced age, I am the opposite of get off my lawn for many things. And I'm like, okay, I watched the Cosby Show.
Yeah.
What the hell's the difference?
Right.
Like, the only thing is I can't remember what podcast I talk about this anymore, so I just repeat the same shit. I removed YouTube from all the mobile devices, and now it's only on the TVs.
Right.
I don't know. I grew up watching TV.
Yeah.
She's watching TV. She has more control. The content it's on YouTube. I mean, YouTube, I think for the most part, is pretty good with putting once kids start watching those types of videos.
Serving you up.
Yeah, they don't. They're not. She's not randomly going to find like whatever it is that doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
But I think overall YouTube is pretty PG-13-ish.
I don't know.
No, if you if you're in that world.
Yes and no. You could get out of that world pretty quickly.
She wouldn't know. She wouldn't. Yeah. It doesn't. For all the videos, when it circulates through on YouTube, it never brings her to anything out of the ordinary.
Mm.
And she's watched YouTube for as long as I can remember, and it's just TV to me. Like, I just don't care about it. It's when she's on the mobile devices, which I got rid of a long time ago. That I didn't like because I just didn't like the eye strains and the visuals,
sure.
That part of it. But like, I don't know. Like, I went to school, I came home, and we went outside for an hour or two, and then it was TV.
I think the argument that I've heard before is that, you know, when you have scripted television, you're dealing with television that has been purposefully developed to be educational in some capacity. And when you have YouTube videos that are developed by...
Right.
You know, who knows? That's not the case. And so you can get into plot lines that are twisty and maybe come off as, hey, it's just kids talking, but it can be, you know, a storyline that maybe isn't appropriate.
I agree. From the ones she's watched, which is a good four or five families, the parents are completely in control. So what I mean by that is that they know where their bread is buttered,
mm-hmm.
their butter is bread, and they're not putting anything out of the wackiness, because when you're getting a million views and you're getting paid all this money, mm-hmm. the last thing you want to do is have subscribers lose. And the part about, like, you know, TV, so if you, I remember, I forgot what, it was like one of those behind the, like, CNN specials, right? So the old show from the 70s, Good Times, right, with JJ and stuff like mm-hmm. that, when that was created by the guy who created all the shows back then, Laverne, I forget his name, it's a famous name, but he created All in the Family, all those shows. So the Good Times was made, and there were several people, and he was a genuinely wonderful, giving, loving of all creeds, everything guy. But the black community was like, well, it's great you gave us our own show, but why do we have to be in the slums? And he created the Jeffersons,
mm-hmm.
which was the high-end stuff. So I'm going with this is that back then, The Cosby Show, all those things, it was canned stuff that was in reaction to society. Whereas the shows that are on YouTube, I can select what I think is appropriate for her. And also, it is current and not canned. But the families are aware that the money is coming from their promotions, all that stuff. So they're not going to, in typical, I mean, of course, you can find anything on YouTube. But I'm just saying YouTube seems to do a very good job of continuously feeding her the type of stuff that would be family safe and interesting.
Like
to her.
Algorithmically.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's just the playlist, recommended videos at the end, stuff like that, which these shows don't have the videos that pop up at the end where it says recommended video, but it's something totally random. It's their own videos.
Interesting.
So she's binging on the Dober family or something like that, whatever it is. I don't want to give the impression that she sits there and watches YouTube all day, but for the judgmenty people, by now you probably don't listen to this podcast anymore. but yes, Jury Duty.
And YouTube.
The
thing about YouTube though is there's so many articles and various things that come out that say all of the negative that has happened with YouTube. So I think probably in your experience, and probably the vast majority of people have a similar experience whose kids do this as well, is that it's not bad, but there's always the potential something bad could happen. We pulled YouTube off of all of our devices except, it's gone. It's off of everything, I'm actually thinking, because their tablets are Amazon tablets that have, like, the kids' stuff, so they can get, Amazon has, like, almost like a version of a very PG YouTube, and mm-hmm. so they watch that sometimes, but that's it.
I'm more concerned, I guess, about the device than the content, because I'm okay with the content. Plus,
what do you mean you're concerned about the device?
I don't want her looking at her cell phone or the fake cell phone that she has,
right.
Or her iPad for 15 hours in a week.
Oh yeah.
That's why I have it on the TVs. Plus, on the TVs, I know what's going on
mm-hmm.
more so than the iPad and stuff like that. And also, it lets her watch TV, per se, quote-unquote, but also play rather than just sitting there right. holding it. So right. those are the advantages that I've found over the past year and a half or so.
I think that that's a smart idea. I actually, so I work for a company where we deal with mental health issues sometimes. And so I spoke with a doctor of mental health recently and I conducted an interview. And one of the things that she talked about was making sure that you have communal screen time and how powerful that can be, particularly for teenagers, because then, you know, you're seeing what they're watching and just overhearing it. And, you know, you can kind of dive in if you need to mm-hmm. and course correct, but that it sets the precedent that we do screen time together. So the idea that you're doing that on the TV with your daughter now seems smart to me, is something that I think we need to do. Because to your point, having like the fake cell phone or the tablets, and it's very insular. You can kind of take that and walk away. Yeah. And then, you know, you don't know what they're watching. So it kind of starts now.
It does. Do you have cable?
No.
Okay. So do you have TVs?
We have one.
And is it in a main room or a living room? Or
it's in a playroom.
In a playroom.
Which, by the way, is probably like our living room, but is turned into the playroom. Gotcha. So it's just the playroom.
Every room. I mean, my back seat in my car is the playroom. Unbelievable. Because we use, I have the Rokus on all the TVs.
Yeah, that's what we have.
And it just goes right into YouTube and goes right on it. So, but my generation, we grew up, so I have TVs in every single room. We have 5 TVs.
Wait, currently?
Yeah.
Wow, I'm just impressed you have 5 rooms for that many.
Living
TVs.
Room? Well, living room.
Okay.
Each bedroom.
Okay.
The basement, which is a large family room, mm-hmm. and the kitchen.
Oh, you do have one in the kitchen. So when I grew up, my parents did have, for a short period of time, a small TV in the kitchen. My mom would watch it when she cooked.
That's exactly it. I have the Italian station on for my mom because she doesn't leave the kitchen.
Right.
In the dining room where we do eat, there is no TV. Sophia tries to finagle an iPad in there, and the rule is, first off, there's 3 rules. 1, no, that's the first rule. Mm-hmm. 2, I let it go sometimes, but it has to be a movie on Amazon that we all want to watch, like a family movie while we're eating, which is 15 minutes, or it has to be music and not YouTube. It has to be like Pandora or mm-hmm. Spotify.
So we don't have a TV in our, I guess we don't technically have any screens in our kitchen. But we do have kind of like a Google Home so we can play music and whatnot. But we would just use our phones if we, I guess, wanted to watch something. So my husband's a big sports fan, so he'll watch sports when he cooks, but it's on his phone.
It's on his phone, which is bizarre to me. But, I mean, when I have to, I will.
Yeah.
But in general, no. I'm like sitting on the sofa doing work and it's on the 55-inch TV.
I think that's more enjoyable.
Yes.
Probably better for your brain and eyes.
Well, it's the fact that I get to work. While I'm,
but then you're feeling productive.
Yeah, like if you looked at my queue, as the kids say, mm-hmm. you'd be like, "What do you actually watch?" I'd be like, "There's nothing on here. I don't watch. I've never seen Lost. I never saw the Orange Black. I've never seen the Dragon one on HBO. I've never seen any of those."
Was that Dragon one? You're talking about Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
That's how you're.
I did
that?
It on purpose for you.
Oh my gosh!
I did.
My brain just exploded.
The last series, the last 2 series that I watched religiously were Sopranos and True Blood.
I watched True Blood.
Right.
Yeah.
That was the last 2, and the only reason is because I don't want to invest the brain time mm-hmm. and not work because I would watch
that's
it.
Fair.
That's the only reason why.
Both
so that's why I watch sports.
Oh, weren't those both HBO?
They were both HBO, and then I cut HBO off, and I never bothered with any. I just got Netflix for the first time 8 months ago.
Really?
Yeah, because Karen watches, like, true crime stuff, mm-hmm. and I watch sports.
She watches true crime stuff? This is like, I did not put that one together, really.
Okay, so that's what's amazing about this, because I can tell you that 9 out of every 10 women in that age range, 35 and over, they all watch those shows religiously. And it's because they all want to figure out how to get away with it with their husbands. But yes, 9 out of 10, yes. And the reason why is because them growing up didn't have Netflix and have shows like you guys have to pull them away from that.
What are the shows that you guys have? What kind of shows do I have?
You have Netflix at your leisure to binge anytime you want. You had Game of Thrones now going all the way back to what was the big thing 7, 8, 9 years ago. We didn't have that. We watched Friends at 9 o'clock on NBC. And mm-hmm. if you didn't, you had to watch whatever was on. So you guys have the ability to watch at your convenience. I'm not knocking this. I love that feature. We had to go to that structure. So if you didn't have Wednesday Friends at 9 o'clock, Thursday nights or whenever it was, you put on other stuff. And those crime shows were humongous back then.
So what is a crime show? Maybe I'm just understanding. It's like Law and Order?
No. Well, yes, Law and Order was
okay,
big.
Okay, because that's what
but
I
no,
watch.
I'm talking about the real true crime ones. Like the woman's sister had an affair.
Oh, like and, real life.
Yeah, like and it's an hour long.
Oh.
And
wow.
It's, yeah,
no. I think I just get too scared. No, so it's interesting. I grew up with no cable, and I didn't have...
You hippie.
we had a TV, but it was like...
No cable?
No cable until probably like maybe high school. And then, but it was not anything that we could record. It was stuff that at 9 o'clock you had to watch it and whatever. And then I think probably in college, that's when things started to change where we had the ability to maybe record shows and watch them when I wanted. But I didn't have... Netflix or anything like that until probably a year ago.
Netflix really is nothing more than what Blockbuster was, except...
I love Blockbuster.
Did you?
I like miss Blockbuster.
The person on Twitter, the last Blockbuster ever.
It's in Oregon.
Funniest effing tweets ever.
I'm sure.
And
you
Facebook.
You have to.
Hysterical. And, but Netflix would not have been anything important had it not come up with its own stuff to make it like HBO was, right?
Yeah.
Like HBO just needed to be Netflix. Right? Because they created the content and stuff like that. And for me personally, although I don't have HBO and haven't had it for a long time, it seems like the only thing that's keeping HBO afloat is Bill Maher.
Well, and for Game of Thrones and series that they develop and create a cult following.
Right, because they had The Sopranos, then it went to True Blood, and then it went to Game of Thrones. There might have been something in between.
There's a bunch of others,
But I'm saying like the big one, like Game of Thrones, was probably since The Sopranos.
Sure.
True Blood was big in the first couple
of seasons. It was. No, that was that was a very good one. But they also, when True Blood was around, I could be wrong, you're going to have to correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that you could have access to HBO through your cable provider, but you couldn't just have access to HBO if you didn't have a cable provider, which versus now, you can sign up for the HBO app and not have a cable provider and just pay a monthly fee to have the just HBO.
You should remember this because that's only been like 2 years.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So
you,
it is 2 years.
As of like 2 years ago. This is we're going into this whole world. So I watch, all I will do is watch sports while I'm working, right?
Yeah.
Mets, Rangers, Giants, all kinds of stuff. The Rangers are my religion.
Okay.
So MSG, Madison Square Garden Network, was owned by Jim Dolan, and Jim Dolan owns the Knicks and the Rangers. MSG was only on Optimum because Jim Dolan owned Optimum.
Right.
Jim Dolan sold Optimum 3 years ago to Altice, or a Saudi Arabian company, I forget what it was. Then MSG got freed from, he's like, I'm not going to keep it on Optimum now only. So MSG is now an app, like HBO app, which freed me from cable basically because I canceled Optimum.
Right.
I have Optimum and one TV.
Oh, the truth comes out.
For the it's the only channel I can get the Italian network. And if I don't put it in there, my mother's not going to cook for me when I'm not when I'm at work. So, look, it's an investment.
It's self-serving. Yeah.
But basically, I got Fubo TV, which is an app. And Fubo has 80% of all the Optimum channels, including all the sports channels.
Mm-hmm.
My bill on cable for everything all in was, $380 a month.
Ouch.
I had the landlines, too.
Yeah.
And internet and all the cable on each box was $12, just a box.
Right.
And I had five TVs, so didn't it. To now, my bill is about $90.
Right.
And I still have it. And on top of it, Fubo is on all the devices, so... And I got my Rangers.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm good. Fubo TV. I don't have an affiliate, but just tell them Lorenzo sent you. So, I am a homogenized version of the millennial when it comes to...
Yeah, you are.
Yeah. I am a millennial.
Yeah.
I don't hate millennials.
You definitely
I'm not like that.
I feel like you exhibit more trends than I do.
I am... Look, if you can be half as cool as me at my age when you guys get older, you'd be really impressed.
I love it.
I don't dab. No, I don't. Like, I'm not dabbing. Like, my friends are dabbing. I'm like, guys, that's like 5 years ago, okay?
I don't even know how to do that. My daughter would have to show
me. You have to get the bottle cap thing off now. That's the new thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That is just I'm not coordinated enough to figure that one out.
That, to me, is stupid. But that's just like being young. And just doing stupid things.
Yeah, because you can. Yeah. What a lovely time of life.
Yes. I watched Jersey Shore the other day for the first time in like ever.
What?
Yeah, it was just randomly on and I'm watching it. And I'm like, it's still, to me, hysterical.
Yeah.
And I don't know why people get mad at it because I did the same shit times 10. There was just no camera and I didn't get paid. And if I did have a camera and got paid, I'd do that shit anyway. It's unbelievable. Did you watch Jersey Shore?
I did. For a little while. What?
Wasn't it like in your like college days?
I don't remember when it was on, but I know I don't remember the years that it was on.
Okay.
But I watched it a little bit, but I've never been hugely into I guess, reality TV.
Okay. It's funny because you call it reality TV like it's a thing, and mm-hmm. I think of it as like when the first reality TV came on, which was MTV. Real World, the first
yeah,
one.
And I'd seen those.
I loved it, right? Yeah. Now I just think it's like what reality, you call it reality TV. To sure. me, it's the same thing as what sitcoms were when I grew up.
Well, okay, that's fair. I mean, it probably is. I'm just saying that it doesn't.
It comes with a stigma is what I'm saying. It seems like that. And I think the Kardashians created that stigma because if I told you growing up, of course I watched sitcoms. It doesn't mean that you watched the Jeffersons versus this or that. But I think reality TV has this stigma because of Kardashian-type shows
well,
and stuff like
maybe,
that.
Well, maybe the reality of the reality situation.
Layers.
I just don't watch a lot of TV.
Okay.
So maybe that's part of it.
I don't either.
Yeah.
But because of sports, I do. Right? Do you have a go-to show?
No.
Right.
I mean, like, I guess I'll probably throw on, like, a cooking channel or something because it's, like, PC and it could be on with my kids if I really want to watch something. But if I'm going to sit down and watch something, it would be, like, a movie.
A movie, right.
And it would be, like, an experience. I'm not largely into television shows, but I don't know why. I enjoy some of them, like Game of Thrones I really enjoyed, but it was at a time where, you know, Sunday nights, my husband and I could watch it together. The kids were asleep. It was like a thing that we did.
It's funny because they say millennials don't have the attention span, which every generation says about the one before, right? But you will watch a movie.
I will, but I've always been this way. As a kid, even my parents thought it was really funny that I never wanted to like just sit down and watch TV. It was not my thing. I'd rather do something else.
So if somehow sports is not on some level, which is a dead month here and there, there's a time where I'm like, I have like in my queue, I have like 10 movies that are my go-to movies that I've seen a million times.
My husband is the same way.
And I'll just put it on. Gladiator. There's a did you ever hear Munich? Okay. Munich is about the Jewish Israeli athletes in the Olympics in the 80s who were detained by terrorists.
Mm-hmm.
And I fucking love the movie. All I've watched it 300 times.
Wow.
What's funny is, even though I'm a Star Wars guy, Star Wars is not in my queue. If it's on randomly on one of the channels, I'll leave it on, like just because of that. But like Cinderella Man, did you ever see that?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
Oh my gosh, I feel so silly. I'm like, I haven't watched.
It's a great movie, but like it's with Russell Crowe.
Okay.
And I forget the Giamatti's in it. It's unbelievable, but to me it is Munich. It's not even on Netflix, but I actually think because of the religious part of it, I think you would actually fascinate the history of it because it's actual footage of the terrorists on the balcony with all the news reporters there and them coming off the plane.
I'm sure my husband has watched this 500 times.
Munich,
probably. This sounds like the behavior that you're talking about. Is something that my husband does do. If sports is not, he kind of has this queue of movies and shows that he has watched multiple times and he watches them again. And I don't necessarily have that. With that said, I'm realizing, though, if I'm, like, in a movie mood or a TV mood, I do have access to Netflix and I will, like...
Your go-to?
I'll go to a series and, like, watch the whole series.
You do binge, okay.
But that's, like, not a regular thing.
Well,
that's
because
like
of time.
I guess if I have nothing else to do.
Right. I mean, you have two kids under like one. And I mean, who the hell has time?
Kids under seven or eight.
You had peanut butter for dinner last night.
I did. That is admittedly
It's very filling.
I had a scoopful of peanut butter is really not
that
filling.
Oh, just a scoop?
Yeah, that's all I ate last night. We were just busy and I didn't feel good. I was tired and I made the kids dinner and I ate a spoonful of peanut butter and I fell asleep.
Where? In the bed?
They were watching TV. My husband came home and then I went to sleep. Yeah.
Okay, not like on the floor or something like that.
No,
Okay.
I just was sleepy. Mama needs to go to bed. Yeah.
And did you said you fell asleep. The kids were already were sleeping then?
No, my husband came home and then I fell asleep.
Oh, and then you fell asleep. Okay, so I got you.
Yeah, I have to say that because if I fell asleep while my kids were awake, that would be horrible, right?
I got a story for you if you want to hear about, if you want to feel better about yourself. Yeah, she won't get mad. You know, they used to have, when they're infants, not infants, but in the first year, they had the Papasan swing or whatever.
The jumper thing.
Well, there's the Papasan swing, which Karen created, by the way, when she's the Babies R Us. Which
wow.
But then they had the mechanical one where it's like, I know I'm doing this physically showing you this, but like the arm comes down and it just swings left and right.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we fell asleep on the sofa and left Sophia in it for 8 hours or 10 hours.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, when she was like a year old. She also fell off the bed when I was watching her. And that swinging thing, she fell out of it when Karen was watching it.
Oh, my gosh.
So those are the three worst things we've ever done, and everybody has survived. So parents out there, don't worry. We all fucked up.
Parenting's hard. Yeah, no, everyone messes up big time.
Yeah. It's like the, I like it when they show me the picture of their 14-month old or something, and it's like, she said thank you. And I'm like, what about the other 50 times that she didn't say thank you? Like, or like when the person posts the photo of the grilled chicken with asparagus dinner, and I'm like, I just think you're eating McDonald's the other 6 days, right? Like, why are you posting that for me? I'm the cynic in that. See the 40 minutes and then of podcasting right there?
Really?
I don't want Mariano to feel bad.
You know, Mariano, I'm...
We should have done just 2 minutes, right? And just been like...
Yeah, I was going to say, this is our first time doing a podcast, just the two of us without Mariano. And I definitely miss Mariano, but I probably want to be wherever he is. Is he somewhere warm and nice?
I don't know where he is.
Mariano, where are you? Come back.
We didn't find out about date night either.
Oh my gosh, I can't wait.
Yes. And, you know, it's safe to say that if Mariano was here and not me, he would have had a tough time carrying the 40 minutes with you. So
he would have had a list of articles to talk about.
Yeah, all of a sudden, right,
Which would have been, you know, helpful. But you guys are very different in that way. It makes it so I actually don't need to prepare. You both prepare in your own ways.
Well,
it's very easy for me.
Yeah. next week we have Sunflower Labs on, hopefully, because maybe they'll show up this time.
Let's hope.
They do search skills in Alexa and all kinds of stuff.
Fantastic.
Because eventually we're all going to be doing search that way, I think, or the chip in our brain.
Let's go.
How's your day planned out today? Are you leaving early? Are you staying late? Are you
same old. Actually, I am picking my kids up from camp, so I'm leaving a little bit early today. We're going to have a little bit of a fun mommy date.
Oh, where are you guys going?
Probably nowhere exciting. Probably just maybe to go get some Froyo. But that to us is a big deal.
where does one go for Froyo? Is around here?
Yeah, there's one in Mattawa, New Jersey. I don't remember the name. It's in a shopping mall.
Is that the one that you start out and you end up with a $24 bill at the end of it?
Pretty much, yeah.
Right,
yeah.
What a racket that is, right?
I know, but it's so fun. We love it.
Okay, so you're doing that. And what are you
doing?
Well, Sophia thinks today's a half day at school. It's not. I'm leaving her there all day. And I told the teacher and she knows it, but she won't care. Then I'm picking her up. Oh, we have to clean the house.
This is the thing.
This is a thing. Alexa plays Billy Joel and we clean for an hour and a half straight. And all it is, we play Billy Joel. That's our thing.
This is brilliant.
When
You've
we clean,
created.
I am not smart, but I'm tactical.
I would disagree. I think you are both. However, so it's Billy Joel clean time. Do you call it we're cleaning or did you market it something completely different?
I left today. Mom said, hey guys, do you think you can clean up a little bit? It's been a crazy week because back and forth and stuff like that.
Right.
And the nephews are coming to stay over for the weekend.
Oh.
Sophia, that's how I get her to clean. Billy Joel for an hour straight. And not that, you know, like picking up things. I'm saying like I'm vacuuming and she's doing this and it's cleaning. Billy Joel, yeah. And I started that probably like 3 years ago.
This is prime parenting.
Yeah, no,
right
and the Billy Joel thing, I'm not like listen to my music. She just picked up on Billy Joel naturally with me.
So it's your thing together. That's cute.
Whatever it is, she cleans and I'm so happy. And I get to clean without her bothering me. So it's double. But yeah, Billy Joel goes on. And that's how I'm teaching her Italian, by playing Ultimo in the car.
Yeah.
And I pull, like, she'll ask me what words mean and stuff like that. So, yeah, that's tactical about it stuff. Billy Joel.
I like it. Try
it with Pete.
Pete's the one who cleans. He'll have to put on special music for me to pay attention.
Oh, so you need the music.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus. Okay. Lovely. Episode 151. Do you have any closers?
No. Thanks for joining us. And thanks for joining me, Lorenzo. Bye, Mariano. We miss you.
Does it feel weird talking to nobody, but you think you're talking to somebody in 2 days from now?
Yeah, it does. But you know what? We are, because we're all connected.
Real hippie shit. Okay, episode 151. It's in the can. See you next week. Bye.